Welcome to Keeping Up with the Kick-Ass Canadians. Today's guest is Lindsay Coulter, David Suzuki's Queen of Green. Lindsay, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
For people who aren't familiar with your work, can you explain what it means to be the Queen of Green?
Really simply, I work at the David Suzuki Foundation for almost a decade now and have been in the role of Queen of Green since 2008, just giving people lots of tips and insight, do-it-yourself recipes, and helping people get unstuck from, you know, I'm one person, what can I do, to I'm one person, look what I can do.
Well, I've noticed that you refer to yourself sometimes not just as David Suzuki's Queen of Green, but also as a fellow Queen of Green. What's the thinking behind that?
You know, over the years, especially when I went on my one-year maternity leave, and I did have a Queen of Green replacement, I quickly started to realize, of course, that there were a lot of Queen of Greens out there in the world doing amazing things in their community to help people go green, make less of an impact, zero waste, people who are living, you know, making no garbage and passing on the knowledge to their communities and their friends. And so I thought, you know, I'm merely a fellow Queen of Green. There's lots of people across Canada and all over the world that are movers and shakers doing the same thing.
Well, in 2012, you launched the Queen of Green Coaches Program, and I imagine that has something to do with trying to involve all the people who are already working towards the same goal. Can you talk about how the Queen of Green Coaches works?
Sure. The Coaches Program is definitely one of my favorite pieces of work that I get to come each day to my desk and be inspired by other, in this case, Canadians that are making a difference. And Queen of Green Coach, the program's been running since 2012, and it was spearheaded after I went room by room through Melanie Smith's home. She won me, the Queen of Green, as a contest in the Canadian Living magazine. And I found that working with one family, going to their home and helping them go through sort of their tackling their waste challenges, how they might source sustainable food choices, reading the ingredients on their, you know, bubble bath products, to helping them find out how to talk to their neighbors about the pesticides they were spraying on their lawn, really motivated them to move and be empowered to make a lot of changes in their lifestyle, and then had a ripple effect through their neighborhood. So I decided to be a little more deliberate and test a pilot project of distributed leadership, really. So volunteers, coaches become volunteers of the David Suzuki Foundation. And they, I recruit them by, you know, stalking some people on Twitter, finding out who's making moves and making changes in their communities. But also it's open to anyone who has a webcam, has an interest in green living, and thinks that they can recruit 5 families from their networks. So how it works is I'm at the center of this snowflake model, if you will, and I reach out to recruit coaches that are, again, Queen of Greens in their own right, and they have to find 5 families to green from their city, their community. Could be their book club, their mom's group, their friends from the park, whatever it might be. And over the course of about 12 weeks, we work through 3 modules on waste, food, toxics, and then community action. And I meet with them online every 3 weeks. And together, we do an intro and exit survey for both the families and coaches. And by the end of the program, we see that some families have never recycled before. And this is people living in Vancouver. So we really are able to reach out to people who aren't the converted and help them find a way through the help of a coach without guilt or judgment or feeling bad, give them some hope and some motivation to kind of get going on the family's green goals.
That's an amazing program. When is the next round of applications for coaches?
Great question. So I've run the coaches since 2012. I've had roughly 120 coaches through the program. Some coaches have come back 3 times, and they've basically run out of families. And right now I'm running 33 coaches. We're starting the food module next week, and we'll wrap up for Christmas. And I will probably recruit again January, February. So I run the program every spring and every fall. And we have sort of a invite-only Facebook group where we answer questions and post links and inspiring notes of encouragement. That's both for the families and coaches, so that's kind of exclusive, as well as the modules themselves have all sorts of information and links and with the coaches as well. Not only do we talk about where to get a rain barrel in Winnipeg or how to start composting in the winter in Calgary, but we also do capacity building for the coaches. So more and more, I believe that everybody can kind of step into a leadership role. And when you sort of are really authentic and can build trust among your networks, you can really leverage your power as, you know, it's not just that people need more information, but actually how you communicate a lot of this information is important. So the coaches also learn how to, everything from authentic leadership to how to combat apathy. We talk about storytelling skills. And one of my favorites and the most popular last spring was a lesson on self-compassion.
Well, you mentioned, speaking of changing families, you mentioned that you took maternity leave and you became a mom about 3 years ago now. What are some of the biggest surprises that you've come across in your efforts to be an environmentally friendly parent?
Ah, good question. You know what shocked me the most was that nobody cloth diapers.
Wow.
So I had set an intention before, you know, throughout my pregnancy that I was going to try early communication, so EC, with my baby, and that's sort of nurturing their need and desire to, you know, use the potty. Really, it's not really potty training, but it's more just tuning in to the fact that they need to go when they wake up from nap and offering the potty, for example. So that was going to be one strategy I was going to use, and the other one was definitely cloth diapers. And I was really surprised, I guess, because in my year off, I went to lots of moms groups and gym play dates and coffee shops, and surprised that it felt like I was, and even among my best friends and the mom friends that I met through prenatal classes and, like I mentioned, the moms groups, it was like me and my best friends that were cloth diapering, and everybody was using disposables. So that was kind of disheartening when it felt like you were sucking it up and taking one for the team and everyone else was throwing out so much garbage.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised to hear that because a lot of the moms I know are using cloth diapers.
Well, that's a relief.
Yeah, different provinces, I guess. Well, you've written in your blog about some of the challenges and the solutions of cloth diapers. Is there anything you want to say about what makes it easier to use them?
The cloth diapering, you know, it can be tricky. I mean, my biggest tip would be, and there's 101 different ways to do it. So there's so many products out there now. There's pre-folds, there's... all-in-ones, there's pocket diapers, there's a million different, so even if you go to a store that sells them as a new mom, it can be kind of overwhelming because you don't know what style and type, and really a lot of it depends on the type of baby you have. So some are pudgy, some are skinny, different fits for different things. And so my best tip on the cloth diapering would be to see if you can find, you know, an aunt, a girlfriend, a neighbor, someone who's cloth diapered before, will be able to offer you a lot of tips and advice and like at least one sort of concrete way that they did it. Maybe you can score some hand-me-downs and tips and tricks on sort of the washing routine. But I was going to do it regardless of how difficult it was. And it does take a little more effort and a little more being in tune with your child because you can't leave your baby in a cloth diaper for like 3 or 4 hours like you would a disposable. But in the long run, it can get them out of diapers a lot quicker. And it just feels so much better to do the laundry as opposed to taking out so much trash.
Well, obviously you cared about the environment before becoming a mother, but has having a son, has it changed your outlook? Has it made it that much more important for you?
Having kids, yeah, there's definitely a tipping point where, not that you realize just what you're passing on to future generations, but you've just added another, yeah, human being that's going to make another footprint on the planet. So trying to make sure that it's a conscious one and that you're mindful about consumption. And I know probably the biggest thing I hear from parents who have decided to go green in, you know, let's say avoiding plastic toys or not having crazy birthday parties is sort of getting your peers, your friends, the grandparents, and everyone else to understand about your allergies to like BPA plastic and cheap goods and that type of thing. So that can kind of be one of the biggest challenges is how you're going to communicate and offer to people without being preachy sort of what kind of lifestyle you would like for your kid and how you'd like other people to participate and nurture that lifestyle and those values of sort of making less waste and having, let's say, the gift of experiences and quality time instead of stuff.
Well, speaking of future generations and considering what we're leaving behind, I just wanted to ask you, with the upcoming federal election, is there anything you hope that voters will consider in the candidates and the parties they're choosing?
I mean, voting, just voting, period. So making sure that no matter what intention you have today, that you make sure that on Monday, if you haven't already been to advance polls, like a lot of Canadians, that you do, you know, get off the couch, get out of work early, pick up a daycare, whatever you need to do to get there and do it, because it can be sometimes really easy to get disheartened or, you know, not feel motivated on the day, thinking that other people will do it or someone else will take care and hopefully vote, and hopefully it'll turn out the way you want. You know, you do have a voice, so make sure that you take advantage of your opportunity to vote. And what I'm hearing is a lot of people are really struggling with, you know, voting strategic versus voting with their heart. And so that's kind of a, you know, there's still the weekend ahead. It's a good time to have that conversation. Well, it can be after the election too, but about what that sort of feels like to cast your vote, whether it's trying to be, yeah, strategic, what you might be giving up and voting with your heart and when to do that. That's what I'm finding most people are sort of struggling with.
Thank you for your time and your thoughts, Lindsay. For people who want more information, where can they go?
At Queen of Green is the Twitter handle. I've got a David Suzuki's Queen of Green Facebook page where we generate a lot of conversations, share tips and ideas, and I'm always looking for advice and feedback. And then the blog is queenofgreen.ca, so that'll take you to the David Suzuki site, and weekly I try to share some different tips, everything from why you shouldn't be raking your leaves this fall to how to source products free from the dirty dozen chemicals that are often found in cosmetics. So join me there.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Amanda.